So he's God, he's Lord of all, Lord of glory. He is my Lord and my God, Thomas says. He is also a peculiar object of worship. The Lord Jesus is worshipped. And to worship someone who is not the true and living God is idolatry. But the Lord Jesus is worshipped, and there's no idolatry in the act, no rebuke from the Father at all in the act. Sometimes men were worshipped, and good men, they always refused that worship. There are examples of this in Acts chapter 14. You remember Paul, they tried to worship him on one occasion, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. The priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands onto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying, saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We are just men. We're just men of like passions with you, and all we are is preaching unto you that you have to turn from idolatry unto the living and true God." So they were going to worship Paul and Barnabas, and they were distressed, utterly distressed at the very thought of it. And they tore their clothes, and they went and said, "No, no, no, you can only worship God." But they never had any problem whenever they came to exalt and extol Jesus Christ and say we're to worship him. No, good men have always refused this worship and were shocked at the very thought of it, in fact. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. "I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And verse chapter 22, verse 9, again, we "see thou do it not." I fell down to worship this angel, and the angel said, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets." Worship God. You can only worship God. The devil said, "Fall down and worship me," but you can't do it. Only God can be worshipped. And yet we see in the scriptures that Jesus Christ, people fell down before him and they worshipped him, and he accepted that worship. He didn't shun and he didn't rend his clothes and he didn't say, "Get up, this is terrible." No, he is worshipped in the very highest sense. Matthew chapter 14, if we just look at some of them, in the verse 33. "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verses 51 and 52. This was the ascension. The Lord Jesus is blessing them. That is, he's probably lifted out his hands and he's praying over them. And he's parted from them and he's carried up into heaven. And he's gone out of sight. And you know what it says after his ascension? He's carried up into heaven. And it says in verse 52, this is after he's gone. After he's gone now. "And they worshipped him." They worshipped him. That's how Luke closes up this gospel, where he has been so careful to tell us about all the intricacies of the humanity of the Lord Jesus, all his compassion and his tenderness. And he's just telling us at the end that his apostles, they worshipped him. And they went to Jerusalem with great joy. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And the verse 59. Here's Stephen. Stephen's being stoned to death. And we read in verse 59, he's calling upon God. Well, God there is in italics. So there's not a Greek word to for the equivalent, so the word God doesn't occur in the text. It just says he's praying, he's calling upon. Well, who is the one that he's calling upon? He's obviously praying. It's his last breath. It's his last breath. And Stephen's a Hebrew. He knows all about the Ten Commandments and about idolatry and about having one God, and you should only serve and worship the one God, and you don't bow down to idols and you don't pray to people who aren't gods. Here is Stephen calling upon and praying and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, the same person he's calling to, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. So he's praying, praying with his very last breath, and he's praying with his very last breath to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's worship on the very brink of eternity. And it's given to Christ, isn't it? And then if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and the verses 8 through to 9, Paul has a thorn in the flesh, and it says there in verse 8, I besought the Lord thrice. Now, the Lord is usually the name given to Christ, the Lord Jesus. I sought him three times. In other words, he's saying, I had three special seasons of prayer, particularly to the Lord Jesus Christ, that it might leave me. And, well, nothing happened, but he came to me with a wonderful promise, my grace. And grace is usually from the Lord Jesus Christ. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul, commentating on that, says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He worshipped the Lord. He depended upon the Savior. He exercised faith in Christ, in the power of Christ. That's worship. Worship of the highest kind. Trust and reverence and dependence upon a being. And that being can only be God. And the particular person who was the object of that trust and dependence was the second person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at Philippians chapter 2. Worship, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord. You see, that's the debatable point, isn't it? No one questions that the Father is Lord. No one questions that the Father is God. But everyone questions that Jesus Christ is. But there'll be no question at the judgment day, because every knee will bow before him and every tongue will then confess. It's true. It's true. He is Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. All the angels. You know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, there was the biggest congregation of angels that this planet ever saw. It was, in the eyes of men, a pretty mean and not particularly noticed too well, except by several people, but all the angels of heaven noticed it. And whenever the first begotten came into the world, God the Father said, you be there, my angels. And all the angels of God worship him. Baby in the manger, worship him. Worship him. All these verses in chapter 1 are proving that Christ is God. That's what Paul is doing here. Verse 10, there's a reference there to him as Lord as well. We're just saying this in passing. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. It's a quotation from Psalm 102. The word in Psalm 102 is Jehovah. And that's applied here to Jesus Christ. Paul is arguing about Christ's divine sonship. He's no ordinary person. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than angels. You see, he made the world. Angels worshipped him. To none of the angels he said, you're my only begotten son. Just to him. And of him, of this person, it is said, thou, Jehovah, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. You have to really study the whole chapter there to see that. But Paul is showing us that Christ is the express image of the invisible God, that he is divine. He's worshipped in Revelation quite a bit as well. We look at some of them. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through to 14. We'll not read all the verses, but you'll see there in verse 8, the elders, 24 elders, these are representative worshippers, the elders of the whole church, triumphant. the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 apostles. The numbers are symbolic, representative worship in the elders, and these elders, representing the whole triumphant church of God, they fell down before the Lamb. And every one of them has harps and vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And who are they falling down before? Before the Lamb, with all these regalia of worship. Before the Lamb. Thou art worthy, they sing. They sing to him. They sing a new song to him. Thou hast redeemed us. They praise him. They worship him. They fall down before him. They have their vials full of odours to present to him. What a scene it is. And Christ is the very centre of the worship there. Chapter 7 and verses 9 to 12. A great multitude, so great, no man can number them. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God and unto the Lamb. The Lamb. They worshipped the Lamb. There's a quotation here again from Machen, page 1 at the bottom. It's not a sin to worship Jesus. On the contrary, it is the highest and noblest privilege and duty ever given to man. It is not a sin to worship the real Jesus. It is not a sin to worship the Jesus who is God and man. But it is a sin to manufacture a Jesus who was man only and not God. And then after you have manufactured that purely human Jesus, to bow down and worship him. That's idolatry.